With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. Disassembling the lies and reassembling the truth. This is the Jason Burma Show on today's News Talk. TNT.
Welcome to the show. And on the eve of what may actually be World War III, and that's not a hyperbolic statement at this point, with the military action via Iran and really no clue where this escalation is leading us, I want to remind everybody the former president of the United States can't go to his son's high school graduation. I want people to think about this for a moment. Now, whether you like Donald Trump or you think he's literally Hitler, have we ever been in a situation where a person who has led this country could not take a day off from what is obviously a show trial in every respect, way, shape, and form, to go see their kid graduate high school? Oh, Jason, he's a billionaire. He doesn't care. That's his like fifth kid. Who cares? How dare you, Jason? He's already got Don Jr. and Eric. He got to go to those. Look, the bottom line is this is grotesque on every level, and it shows how lawfare is being waged against anyone who goes against the narrative, even the president of the United States. And this is very dangerous. Now, let's go over some of the other aspects of these cases that are now taking flight. And I've been talking about these for a very long time because guess what, folks? I'm still under the impression they plan to put Donald Trump in prison. Now, that's not a hot talking point on the right or in the conservative media or the alternative media. But I've got news for you. Things ain't gone Donnie T's way in these rigged courtrooms. Now, he did ponder whether or not the Supreme Court was going to make the correct decision and say that because he was the president, he is immune from these prosecutions. Now, one way or another, we're in new territory. I think that is absolutely clear. And I want to be the first to say that if I thought there was a legitimate court system going against a former president of the United States for their war crimes or their treason against the American people, I'm all for it. Let's do, like, for instance, if there was any validity whatsoever to what they had charged Trump with, say, I don't know, the attacks on Syria after no gas attack happened in Douma. Although he was ignorant of that, that might be a legitimate path to take so you could see where he got that information to decide to make that move. Never going to happen. Never will you see a president of the United States, okay, when in tune with the war machine, be brought up on charges on that. No. Instead, we're worried if he slept with a porn star who has sex for money and then paid her not to tell anybody. That's what we're worried about. That's it. And now we're into extortion claims. I don't think the Supreme Court is going to make the right decision. I'm very doubtful that these upcoming January 6th cases, again, with the Supreme Court looking at those, we're going to be talking about that later today, they're going to make the right decision there. We are in unprecedented times. And I truly do believe we are now on the path to putting Donnie T in prison, like it or not. I don't know what that means for the election cycle. But again, the other guy's not running, everybody. Just so everybody understands, Joe Biden not only can't talk, he can't campaign because he can't talk. He can barely walk. They can't campaign him. All right. Very odd times. I'm going to be keeping an eye on these trials. We're probably going to be discussing them every single night, and I do look forward to finally getting over that hump as to where the United States Supreme Court is going to stand on this one. But they've made some really, really bad and egregious decisions lately. With that being said, if you would like to see all of our favorite freedom fighters on one stage across one weekend, then listen up. The Weekend Truth Festival will feature such speakers as Katie Hopkins, Katie Sherman, Dolores Cahill, Matt LaTracer, Mark Atwood, David Clues, Allegedly Dave, Sovereign Pete, and many others. All of this across one weekend on the 3rd, 4th, and 5th of May in Workington near the Lake District in the UK. If you're across the pond, all you need to do is bring a tent, a sleeping bag, and some good vibes, as food stalls, workshops, bushcraft, and amenities will be provided on site. For more information and to find out how to reserve your place at the festival, please visit weekendtruthfestival.co.uk. But don't hang around, because only a limited number of places are still available. Quick break, back with the news and Adam Ruckus after this.
Giving you what you want.
I want the facts.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And speaking of World War III, on Monday, Israeli's military chief confirmed, without providing any details, that a military response to Iran's weekend attack would be coming. Even as world leaders are urging Israel not to retaliate, hoping to avoid an escalation of violence in the Middle East. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT news producer Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. Adam, what's going on, and how close are we to an escalation that we cannot turn back from?
Well, I was just commenting in the live chat on TNTRadio.live's website how the weather is similar to World War III, because it just changes. Because I was reporting earlier on today how, hey, it looks like for now we have averted World War III. And when I did a news report for Johnny Vedmore. But no, it appears that everything's back on the table. No. Yep, that's the way we do things here. So the bad news is, yes, we are not out of the woods yet as far as this whole potential escalation in the Middle East over Israel versus Iran, which could spark everything into the aforementioned World War III. But the good news is, Jason, this has at least shifted some of the focus away from another concerning pressing matter involving the country known as Israel. They were on the verge of launching a ground offensive on the Gaza city of Rafah, but they now have chosen to delay this campaign after Iran launched its massive retaliatory attack on Israel over the weekend. This is according to CNN. I've seen this confirmed from multiple outlets now. So Israel has confirmed that they were going to start dropping leaflets on parts of Rafah today, Monday, in preparation for the ground offensive into Gaza's southernmost city, where more than 1 million displaced Palestinians are sheltering from Israel's 6-month bombing campaign. Those plans now halted after Iran, of course, launched an attack involving, I believe it was upwards of 350 combined missiles, drones, quite expensive, spectacular light show, in my opinion. It cost them approximately $1.3 billion to knock all of these 350 projectiles from the sky. And they made a good showing of it. It was fun. Everyone was waiting with bated breath to see what would happen. And I was kind of surprised, pleasantly so, Jason, to see that, countries like the United States of America, UK, Germany, France were all like, okay, wow, that was crazy, but let's not go overboard here. Israel, please don't retaliate. I saw a couple countries, including the president of the United States, using words like telling Israel to take the win. That was repeated by a number of folks out there. So I was like, normally in these instances from recent history, they're like, okay, this is it, everybody. It's go time. Let's go to war. Let's go get them. I think Israel had to meet with their cabinet. Actually, they had multiple meetings, their war cabinet, across Sunday and today to decide what they're going to do. And, well, yes, they decided they are going to do something, but they have not given us any details as to exactly what. It would appear, though, Jason, that the vast majority of the Western world is trying their hardest to keep Israel, I hate to say it, but on a short leash, so that this doesn't start World War III. But I'm not sure why, because I think ultimately it serves a ton of agendas to just get this party started no matter how it happens. Maybe they're waiting for the conflict with Taiwan, with the China thing. Maybe they still want stuff to happen with Ukraine, which, by the way, Mr. Zelensky has sat here and looked at the way that the U.S. and other partners have stepped up, as it were, to help aid Israel with their little Iran problem. And he's demanding the exact type of treatment for Ukraine. I'm not making this up. That was one of the reports I had in front of me earlier today. So that's just kind of a broad, overview of where we're at right now, Jason. I'm not going to get into too crazy details because there's not very many coming in. But I would suggest, as I said, we are not out of the woods yet. But what say you, my friend?
I say be careful believing what they say and instead watch what they do. The military escalation in Israel is going nowhere. The United States is fully on board, despite any type of press release they put out or any. In fact, they were already considering putting out a taped message from Zombie J, but they're like, you know what? He's a little too dementia-ridden. We don't want to risk this one. We don't want to AI it up. That's kind of a tongue-in-cheek joke, but really, they don't know what to do with this guy. And the other thing that is super interesting, and again, a lot of people not talking about it, is all of a sudden, magically, the Iron Dome worked. You said it. Over 350 of combinations of missiles and drones, not one death. Let me repeat that. Not one death on the Israel. What happened on October 7th when the Iron Dome failed and this attack came and U.S. Special Forces were already on the ground? And then U.S. Special Forces spent more U.S. Special Forces into Israel. And they've quietly been there the last 6 months. Again, what are they doing despite what they are saying? And unfortunately for the war machine, we are in the information age, and it is impossible to not at least show some of the devastation that is actually happening. You know, recently I saw an archived video of General Patton from World War II, and he said that the general public does not understand what hell looks like until they fly over Germany and see it utterly destroyed. You don't even need a flyover right now to see what's going on in Gaza, in Palestine. The vast majority of those areas are completely leveled. And now, like you said, they're dropping leaflets saying they're about to attack Rafah after they huddled everybody there. So, you know, I'm not pro-Hamas. I'm not a member of Hezbollah. I'm anti-genocide. I'm anti-World War III. I'm anti the facade that this is a direct response to this. It is not a direct response to October 7th. These people have now shown their colors. When I say these people, the generals and political leaders that have now openly stated there is no chance for a two-state solution. Now, once again, if you were really studying this issue, there never was really a chance because Israel was never going to allow Palestine to have their own independent government, their own independent military, which would be necessary for a nation state. But now, Adam, it's not even on the table. So what are we headed for? They can say whatever they like. These military strikes in the next few weeks could set things off that are things that are unimaginable to first world nations like the United States, like to those in Europe. And I'm sorry, most of the public is not prepared for either a nuclear event or a first world versus first world non-proxy war, Adam.
Yeah. And then I have this other concern, too, because we see this happening here on the local level where they try to trigger people. They want everybody on edge. They would just love for some lone wolf nut to just pop off on their own. You know, like, hey, we didn't make this guy do it, but you kind of did. You kind of pushed this person to do that. And now you can roll in with some sort of response to that. I'm afraid they're trying to trigger some sort of like small group of people who are in support of Iran. I mean, you can't give Iran as a country a pass. I mean, they have a lot of problems there, too. I mean, they're not like a perfect government either. Hardly any government is. In fact, none. From where I'm sitting. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried that they want some other group or some other person or player to pop off and start something hotter than what we've seen without you know, some major country having to take official responsibility for it. The Iran thing, I was like, wow, you know, if they were serious, they could have probably threw something a little harder, a little heavier. It seemed like an expensive light show to me. It was kind of fun and cool to watch. I bet you anything, if you took some of that footage and played it to Pink Floyd's Dark Side of the Moon, it probably lines up or something. Somebody out there is going to find that. You watch, mark my words, I want a piece of the credit on that one. But yeah, that's how I feel about this. I don't think that this was the big World War III yet, personally, thank goodness.
No, but you know, in light of the fact that you brought up the possibility of allowing or provocating an actual attack, you know, not a full-on false flag, but again, letting a group attack, I do want to say that I have noticed, and I just recently posted another one of these, an uptick in military drills with the National Guard and local law enforcement to nuclear and biological terrorist events. This is a real thing. I just posted one that took place in the end of March. I think we're going to see more of these things. And look, it's not only concerning because they are possibly preparing for these events, but when you look at large-scale terror attacks, often they coincide with military war games and drills that overlap. And that is something that we need to keep an eye on. Not trying to be a conspiracy theorist here, trying to be a realist. Adam, we will see you in the next hour. We'll be talking Tesla and more. Can't wait to see you, my friend. We got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking to Courtney Turner about the United Nations and the AIWS cities. You've heard of 15-minute cities? Maybe you haven't heard of the 100-year centennial agenda yet. We're going to go over that and much more back with more TNT Radio after this.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. News Talk Radio listeners are some of the most active and involved listeners of any format. TNT Radio listeners rely on TNT Radio often as their primary source of information. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Today's News Talk Radio.
Come on, let the man talk.
We never censor our hosts.
Good. Now, talk.
Uncensored news.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
And we are now joined by Courtney Turner. She is an activist, an analyst, and podcast host. We've been lucky enough to spend some time together all across the country over at the Reawaken America Tour. And one of the things we've discussed both in public and in private is not only globalism and the United Nations, but this UN Centennial AIWS initiative. So a lot of people, they know about Davos, they know about the Great Reset, they've now felt the corruption of the World Health Organization and the United Nations in general. They're even familiar with 15-minute cities. Courtney, what is this?
Oh, so this is the centennial of the UN. So the UN started in 1945. So they're imagining the world in 2045. And they've created something called an AI World Society. And this looks very much like a cyber Satan to me. Personally, it is very dystopian. If the singularity is not here, it is near in their minds. So what they're doing is they're partnering up with the Boston Global Forum and someone named Michael Dukakis. Some of you may remember he was the former governor of Massachusetts. He's written a book. It's called Remaking the World, the Age of Global Enlightenment. If that's not a nod to the New Age Theosophical movement, I don't know what it is, but this is the UN that's partnering with them. And of course, we know the UN is a, you know, their spiritual consultancy is Lucius Truss. So this makes sense. But what they're doing is they're creating this AI world society where they are going to put humans, as they call us, objects in this AI world society. They talk about how Ukraine is going to be the hub of this AI World Society. They've had a symposium on how they have to rebuild Ukraine because it's been decimated by the war. We need to send them lots of support, lots of money, you know, so that it can, we can rebuild. Kind of sounds like Build Back Better. Sounds familiar to me. So they're saying we need to do this so that we can build it. So it'll be the centralized hub for this AI World Society, where there will be all these offshoots all around the world with these, you know, 15-minute cities, smart cities, C40 cities, and those will all be connected in a grid. And they will no longer have human governments. We will have AI governments. So human governments are going to be a thing of the past. We are going to have digital twins. They're talking about doing an AI bill of rights, but they're not really so much talking about, you know, restricting or regulating the programming of AI. They're talking about regulating our usage, the human usage of AI. Yeah, so they're talking about how they can make us property and literally put us siloed in the metaverse. And they've actually done beta tests on this. There was a island called Tuvalu where they convinced them that because of the climate religion, you know, that the climate crisis, you know, we're all going to die in 2 years, the planet's going to end. They've convinced them that their island was going to sink. It was going to be underwater. I think this is very ironic because you have all of these elites who tell us that, you know, all the oceanfront property is going to go underwater because of the climate crisis, but that's where they keep buying their land. Somehow that makes sense. But they convinced these people and they evacuated the entire island. They exported them to Australia. And then they told them they can never see their loved ones again. They can never see their homes again, but they can. They're so lucky because they can in this virtual reality. So they had I think that's kind of the beta test.
Well, first of all, I think it's about perception versus reality. Let's look at Neom's The Line. Right now, Neom the Line, this was one of those globalist projects. It was going to be this glass city, it's going to be 106 miles long. If you went to their website, it was this Asian woman in this virtual universe floating around, being guaranteed that everything was the best thing since breakfast. Again, everything was 15 minutes away. They even threw in there that there'd be equitable views for everybody, whatever the truck that means. I mean, folks, talk about Bernaysian language. It was over the top. Failure, total technology doesn't exist. Reality, boom, set in. And that project got knocked down at a mile and a half and it wasn't even fully constructed. Obviously, that's the feel-good story of the year to me right now. That mode of globalism, that you know, iconic piece of architecture they were trying to build, 110% failure. Now you're talking about AI, and there was some real fake news. It's still spreading around like wildfire on the internet. This always concerns me when I see it. Oh, Klaus Schwab's sick and he's dying. No, he's not, guys. He's fine. He's kicking for an 80-plus-year-old man. Trust me, he's doing okay. But right now, that's out there. The reason I bring up Klaus House is he is openly talked about in the World Economic Forum and others. AI, artificial intelligence run government. They will pick our leaders. And then on top of that, one of the things that he's let slip out that may, you know, a lot of people talk about the bugs and you will own nothing. I've literally got this guy on camera talking about not everybody can be a robot polisher. I mean, that's what these people think about you. You'll be lucky if you get to polish their robots. And obviously, a large part of this AIWS, this world society based in artificial intelligence, has to be based in automation and robotics, which we've been seeing now being pushed forward at a pace never before in humankind, Courtney.
Yes, this is very true. And I do think a lot of it is perception. I mean, they need people to polish their robots, right? So I don't think that they're really going to achieve this truly post-human society, but they are talking about it. So there's obviously the transhumanists, you know, these are the people who want to merge us with machines and make us into cyborg. There's of course already the cybernetics that's occurring just with the constant interface of, you know, screen time and the algorithms and all of that. Our brain chemistry has already been shifted and our behavior obviously has been shifted and they're programming us through that. But there is a whole camp of people who are talking about a post-human world. And there are several manuals on this. And I actually thought there was just one. I was like, oh, this is like super fringe. I'm not saying it's mainstream, but there's several. There's several. And they're like a large, you know, proportionally, I'll just say larger than I'd like to see, group of people that really believe that we're going to have a post-human world. I don't know who they think is going to polish their robots if they have a post-human world, but somehow that we're all going to, I mean, we're going to have digital twins, and then we're going to have, they have AI citizens in this AI world society. So I guess somehow it's all going to work, even though we don't know that we're alive and not alive. And but yeah, it doesn't matter because that's what they'll convince us. So I don't know. It's very confusing, but I do think a lot of it is perception. But it is also pretty scary because because what they're talking about is regulating everything through, you know, digitization. So they talk about something like, you know, in China, you have like the, you know, social credit system. And, you know, we're very familiar with that. Of course, they have everything on the WeChat app, which of course Elon says he wants to make a Twitter-like, but better. But what they talk about is something called the social value reward system. So it sounds very meritocratic, but it's the same thing. And they are moving things towards this communitarian kind of system. They're doing it through corporations. And that's what's scary, is that, you know, it always is an opt-in system, but hopefully people are not going to take the bait.
Courtney, there's no opting into a system that decides your behavior like you're a child and not whether you're actually doing right, wrong, or condemning lies and embracing truth, but whether you adhere to their authoritarian ideologies and narratives. That's the truth of the matter. We got to take a quick break for the headlines. When we come back, we're going to be talking about the singularity, AI, and yes, even a post-human future. It's my show. I'm Jason Burmes. Back with more TNT Radio Live after this.
Check this out!
News Talk Radio.
TNT Radio News.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. The Israeli military has provided the government with various response options following recent Iranian airstrikes, according to IDF spokesperson Peter Lerner. In Sydney's western suburb of Wakeley, a bishop and three worshippers were stabbed during a service at Christ the Good Shepherd Church, triggering significant unrest. European Union lawmakers have officially approved a new immigration system designed to manage illegal immigration more effectively after several years of negotiation.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
And we were talking about the singularity. I think it's important to talk about the person that came up with that terminology and what it actually means. So Ray Kurzweil, who's really the godfather of modern day transhumanism, in 1999, writes The Age of Spiritual Machines. And in that, he posits that there will be a point where technology swoops up at an angle. In other words, we're going like this for a while and then boom, to the point that everything changes, you know, basically infinite knowledge all the time, you name it. And at this point, we change. And essentially, we have created entities, and he's changed this over the years. But at first, he talked about entities that would be not conscious necessarily, but smart enough to make us think that they are, in fact, conscious. He said there were two very, very different things. But then he would talk about how essentially this is non-carbon life and that eventually we would be in a fully non-carbon future. Well, carbon's one of those things you need for biological life on this planet. Not just us, but everything. And that is extremely concerning because now he has posited that in fact these beings will be conscious, or it doesn't matter if they're not. This is the future, and this sounds like the ravings of an insane person. This is the guy who's worked for Google for years as kind of their guru, positing these theories. And Google also very much on top of artificial intelligence, etc., and quantum computing, is doing work in what? Immortality, literally de-aging biologically. So I see a rift in the classes. I think you have one class that does think they can biologically live forever while they sell everybody on how they're bad because of their carbon footprint and because everything life force based is based in carbon, you have the ultimate authoritarian rule on every aspect of their life. And then they push them into this digital world, this new metaverse, if you will, that they're trying to create along with the AI digital twins that are not just factories, folks, because NVIDIA is already doing digital twin factories, but digital twin human beings, or what some of these people are calling, I wouldn't say it's not clones, but it's essentially, it's our consciousness. That's not real. We can't, like you said, there are certain realities. We can't upload our consciousness, everybody. They don't even know what your consciousness is. Right. So, Courtney, what is your take?
So I did want to address, you were saying that you can't, you know, it's not an opt-in when they're treating you like a child and, you know, giving you demerits. So the one thing I would say, though, is they are giving, you know, they're trying to convince us things through convenience, like, you know, the digital currency will be so much easier. We should just switch over. We should take the UBI because then everybody will, you know, they don't have to work and you can just, you know, scroll and you'll make money that way. So I'm just saying, when they start offering these types of things that sound enticing, I mean, not to maybe you and I, but they may to some people, really know what you're taking and what you're entering into. You're allowing them to build this infrastructure because none of this can work without, you know, I think without the CBDCs, it can't work. None of it can work without, you know, this whole climate religion, really, because that's what it is. They're trying to convince us that the planet somehow going to implode. They've been telling us every 2 years that it's going to somehow end. but maybe they're taking the same 150 supplements that Kurzweil takes, and he thinks he's going to live to be 150, right?
And let's talk about that for a second, because so it's not just Kurzweil, right? And believe me, I take a lot of supplements, but I see a lot of these old scientists, you know, whether it be Kurzweil, who not only talks about taking handfuls of supplements daily, but also on IV treatments, okay?
Yep.
But Dennis Bushnell, the former chief scientist of NASA, notorious for the same thing, yet they demonize Alex Jones for selling Brain Force Ultra. You know, we're not allowed to have nitrous oxide and NAD+. And you now have the FDA actually regulating peptides that have been on the market for many, many years. So once again, you have this system that is demonizing it on one end, yet their leaders or their thought leaders, I hate that term, but their thought are using them and actually telling people to use them that they work, but not the mainstream media, not the mainstream politicians. Instead, we see the reverse, that they try to take them away from us, Courtney.
Yeah, well, you know, it's great for me, but not for thee. You know, so it's not hypocritical at all. I wanted to talk a little bit about, so they've got like an AI World Society city, and they, you know, it's remaking the world towards an age of global enlightenment. They've got the Global Enlightenment Mountain, and it looks like a seraphim. The picture is on their site. They have a house of honor. They have peace and security. They have a history of AI house. There's a history of AI house. There's a Global Enlightenment Club. This is all virtual, by the way. There's the AI World Society City Hall, the council, the concert hall. There's the university. So, yeah, they're building us a beautiful world in this virtual reality.
And, you know, when you talk about these virtual realities and being able to opt in, another aspect that I think that we have to talk about with Kurzweil is he ultimately says that we will have nanobots in our bodies. Like, we're talking about billions of nanobots. And eventually we will get to the point that these nanobots turn off our natural systems and enter us into this virtual reality, which will be indistinguishable. If that is the case, that is not an opt-in system. In order to get billions of nanobots into human beings, you would either have to release it in the food supply, water supply, or aerosolize it, because we all know everybody isn't lining up to take hate and lie shots by the dozen anymore, or even the first time around, Courtney. So when you see these things, again, perception versus reality, what do you think the reality of this movement will be in the next 5 years? Because obviously we have seen a consolidation of power. We are seeing these cities take place. The metaverse might be losing money, but Meta is just gaining on the stock market and has partnered with the World Health Organization and the United Nations.
There's Chan Zuckerberg, which is putting like hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars into like pandemic research and like, you know, biotechnology research. It's scary, scary stuff. Yeah. And when you talk about this, the nano Internet of Things, that's essentially what it is. They talk about that in the AI World Society and how everything's going to be done through sensors that are going to be inside our body. And they talk about 6G being part of this. And you may remember there was that article by UMass Amherst that talked about how 6G was actually harnessing humans for energy. And they talk about this in their book, in their white paper. So, yeah, I don't know. There's definitely the when you ask about the perception versus the reality, I do think they're not quite as advanced as they'd like us to believe. I do think they want us to be really scared, because if we're scared and the fear porn works, then we're much more susceptible and malleable to whatever kinds of manipulations and programming and control mechanisms, and also whatever kinds of opt-in things they may want to offer us. So I think that is a huge piece of it. But as you said, you know what they can do with aerosolization. I mean, there's the smart dust. We're talking about
smart dust. Courtney has been around and talked about since the War of Terror. I would direct people to go read Annie Jacobson's book, First Platoon, where it plays a key role. Again, this is old technology. It is micronized. It is completely invisible to the human eye. Courtney Turner, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody needs to check out her podcast and everywhere she's at. We got to take a quick break. We got another great guest on the other side. I love it when people are taking action. I love it more when they're as young as this guy coming up. Back with more of my show. It's TNT Radio Live.
It's been said that when someone you love has Parkinson's, you have Parkinson's. The truth is, Parkinson's disease doesn't just affect the diagnosed. It affects everyone who supports and helps care for them. Worldwide, over 10 million people are living with Parkinson's, a neurological disease that affects movement. And with so many places to search for information, it can be difficult to know where to begin. The Parkinson's Foundation has answers. Answers for everyone in the fight. We can help you understand the disease, help you find expert care, give you tips for living a better life, share the latest research, help you find local support, and there's a free helpline you can call. Find your answers and join us in the fight against Parkinson's. To learn more, please go to parkinson.org or call 1-800-4PD-INFO. The Parkinson's Foundation. Better lives. Together.
We all know what it's like to feel alone. But it just takes one new connection.
Want to get out of here?
To empower many.
This is unbelievable.
It doesn't take a superhero to bring forces together. We all have the power to reach out.
Let's go!
And help someone feel like they belong.
Pretty cool, huh?
We are stronger together.
Jason Burmes on today's News Talk, TNT.
I am extremely excited to talk to my next guest for the very first time, and let me tell you why. We often talk here about not looking to others to take action, but instead looking in the mirror and deciding what you're going to do to make the world a better place. And for those that don't know my background, I've been in this game now for almost 20 years, and there was almost a golden age for me in alternative media when the 9/11 truth movement was coming together, not with magic boxes like our phones, because we didn't really have them, but little handy cams and putting people on blast, asking them tough questions. And now that everybody's got these devices, almost nobody's doing it. This young man is. We're joined by Max Bonilla. You may have seen his viral confrontation with Gavin Newsom. We're going to be talking about that and the border. Max, thank you so much for joining us, especially at 19 years young, my friend. Very impressive. So how did you get involved in the political arena? What is it that drove you to say, hey, I'm not seeing this in the mainstream media. I'm concerned with what's going on. I'm going to take action.
Well, first of all, it's great to be with you, Jason. And I was very disillusioned by the unilateral action that was taken in my state by the governor. There was no really involvement by my state legislature. Mind you, I follow Congress, I follow the state legislature, I follow pretty much all legislative bodies extremely closely. But that guy was the man making decisions all by himself during the COVID pandemic, which constitutionally you can't do. You need a legislature to make laws. And when you abuse emergency powers to shut down businesses, to shut down schools, to keep church shuttered, as you open up casinos and strip clubs and all kinds of other things that apparently aren't dangerous places to be spreading the pandemic, while list others are, you need to be challenged. Your authority needs to be challenged, because really, I think that what he was doing was out of step with his authority. And he's only made that problem much worse. I mean, even after COVID, he's doing a lot of shady things in California. And so it's up to us as Californians to rise up against the king, against the dictator, to challenge him.
So let's talk about this, my friend, because you're not even 20 years old. That means that about 4 years ago and a month change, because we're here, it's 2024, it's April, you started seeing the authoritarian measures, much like I saw authoritarian measures in New York that the rest of the country would eventually embrace. Now, you can't even drive a car yet, right? I'm sure you don't even have your permit at this point. So when this is initially kicking off in California, the Sunshine State, what are your initial thoughts? And then what was your take on the reaction of those around you?
Well, you know, school shut down, and of course, the students were extremely happy. And I told them that I had a weird feeling that it would last much longer than what they were saying it was going to last, that it was the goalposts were going to get moved back, because that's just about what happens with every PSYOP that gets promoted, including the COVID-19 pandemic. And so I knew they were going to move the goalposts back. I knew that they were going to use it to abuse their powers. And that's what they've done. They've expanded their powers. I mean, you even look at the presidency now. How is it that Biden is able to instruct a department to make private gun sales almost illegal? 95% of private gun sales are illegal at this point because Biden says so, not because that there's any law that's been passed backing that up. So I've seen this trend over the years where executives, whether installed at the state level, installed at the federal level, or installed at the local level, like your county board, they have gone crazy. They have been abusing their powers. And so for me, it was time to just get up off my butt and challenge the narrative, which not too many people were challenging.
You know, I like the word installed, because that is clearly what we have. We have these installed leaders. Anybody that is paying attention to what is actually happening in the country could say nothing less about Zombie J. And I would just say this. Yeah, it was an executive order under Biden. Somebody might have had to hold his wrist as he signed it, because he's not running anything at this point. You know, before we get into the border issue and that initial confrontation with Gavin Newsom, you know, you mentioned that you actually follow all these different branches of government. I would imagine you have some pretty cool parents. You don't come along with this kind of information as a young man unless you have some politically active folks. So can you kind of speak to that? Did they help you along the way and lead you in the right direction so that you could critically think on your own?
So I'll tell you, I don't have politically active folks, but I have great folks. I just felt implored to use the values that were instilled in me by God, by my parents, by my family, to challenge this nonsense that was happening. People were being crippled. I mean, people want to talk about gas and inflation and stuff, but people were crippled when their businesses had to shut down because we had those big lockdowns and everybody was forced to, you know, take a thing or wear a mask. Meanwhile, I think this is a perfect intro. People are allowed to come across our southern border, not get examined in any way, shape, or form, whether it's for sicknesses or diseases or being vetted to see what crimes they've committed, even in their own countries. A lot of them don't carry identification, but we were expected in certain cities, in certain places that were extremely radical on this issue, to carry, you know, cards to show that we were of a certain status. And so for me, that was just like, hey, I'm gonna impose my God-given rights. This is completely wrong.
So let's talk about Newsom. Okay. How did you make the move, my friend? You know, what was your thought process? How did you get out there? Again, I assume you have a license by now, but maybe you went with a couple people. Tell me the game plan as a young man on plotting this out, getting it done, and then sharing it with the world.
Yeah, so this is the second time, actually, this has happened, a confrontation between the governor and I, and I like to drive myself to the state capitol. I don't go with a big group of people usually. The first time, there was a decent-sized rally in which some people did stick around, but the second time was a little solo spree. There was something called the State of the Judiciary. By the way, Gavin has not scheduled his State of the State, which he's supposed to give every year, almost like other governors. It's like a tradition across the nation. Every executive is supposed to give a State of their State, or for the president, a State of their Union, State of the Union, whether it's a speech or a letter. But traditionally, it's a speech. Traditionally, it's a speech. And he wasn't giving that. So anyways, he was attending this event called the State of the Judiciary, where the head of the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice in California, was giving a speech. So he walks out of the event. I follow him down the stairs, and then that's when I start confronting him about the border stuff that's going on in Hukumba, California. There are a lot of people coming across in that area. I know Bill Malugan with Fox News has been on top of that, so there are videos to confirm that.
So Newsom, in kind of his grotesque Hollywood-esque fashion, just has a big smile. He's talking about all the positives, and, well, actually, you know, we've taken action. And this is a guy that has no problem smiling, lying to your face, and because of it, he has been promoted by not only the political, but the media establishment. I'm sure that you've noticed that they've kind of used him as a surrogate in this very odd election cycle. Early on, he was the one commenting after Republican primary debates, and they even tried to pit him in a debate against DeSantis that really went nowhere. Obviously, DeSantis is going to look better than Newsom based on what Florida did compared to California alone. But you can't say that Newsom did poorly. You know, he has those talking points.
Right.
He barely falters. And he is this quintessential kind of wannabe Hollyweird politician that gives off a vibe that is actually, I don't know, liked by some people. I mean, some people in your state like him. Why?
Yeah, well, I mean, the media establishment does push him as this guy that's for, like, equality. He said he wanted to usher in this new progressive era during COVID, which meant, equity, income equality, all these nuances that they like to promote. And then the election stealing through the mail-in ballots. By the way, Gavin made the 2020 election a mail-in ballot election just by executive order, and I don't think he had any rights to do that. Trump's election went crazy because so many local jurisdictions changed their laws when it came to mail-in ballots. But when it happened here in California, it wasn't a law that changed. It was an executive order that was signed where he stepped out of line. I think, like you said, it's the media, the way that the media portrays Newsom, that gets people to like him. And also, when he goes on these debate stages against Ron DeSantis and against all these people, it's all scripted. Like, that is all scripted. However, when a citizen goes and confronts you, it's not scripted. So what happens is you start to panic when those questions aren't scripted anymore. You know, he had plenty of time to practice for a debate against Ron DeSantis. He did not have time to practice for a citizen that was ready to confront him with real questions.
And that's why it's so important, because you do see cracks in the armor. And on top of that, you get to circumvent the mainstream media machine, at least for a little while on social media. Sure, things do get banned, they get shadow banned, they get context added, but oftentimes it's through the alternative media that it gets a wider view in the mainstream after the fact. So speak to that, and speak to why guerrilla journalism is important, especially of people, I would say, of your generation and the one above it. I'd love to see you millennials out there, like this Gen Xer, I'm sorry, Gen Zer. I'm Gen X. I'm an old man. But you look, I think my generation failed. You know, I would say that my parents' generation failed. We have not had a substantive amount of young people in their generation challenging the establishment on any meaningful level. We need 100 Max Bonillas out there every single day. So what would you say to motivate people in your age group?
Yeah, well, the legacy media is never going to tell the truth. And they are failing, but now it's about where are those people going to go? Those people that are leaving CNN with some of the lowest ratings, those people that are leaving Fox News over Tucker Carlson. And I'm not dissing them at all. If CNN and Fox invited me to speak, I'd absolutely speak on their platforms. However, my point is, when people are leaving, where's their new home going to be? And I think that that's highly contingent on whether people take action or not. And so if you're stepping in, if you're pushing real facts, real data, real journalism, if you're pushing real facts, real data, real journalism, I promise you this, you will get the following, you will get the people coming to you. And if you don't, you're not going to get the people going to you. They're going to go to all these other sources of information. And at that point, you've got to be angry with yourself because, you know, now is the time to step in. Now is the time to take action.
It absolutely is. And let's kind of talk about that right now, because the border is a big issue, but it brings up a multitude of other issues. You mentioned executive orders. Now, obviously, this executive branch has refused to prosecute or obey laws that are on the books. So they have not only enabled what we've seen on the border, but encouraged it. And then they have partners in crime, not just in the NGO field, but also in the private sector. You know, I've been hammering this home, but when you have a company like Tyson that can fire American workers, okay, close down plants in Iowa, then take quote unquote migrants, which are illegal immigrants shipped in here on purpose, and have them work in your factory for $16.25 an hour in upstate New York. You can't live in upstate New York barely for under $20 an hour. They're going to get no benefits. They're going to be living on a slave wage, but we're going to get you lawyers and we're going to make sure that you stay in this country. This is open and arrogant treason amongst not only the political, but the corporate class in collusion with one another, Max.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, the Biden administration is making sure that their legal fees are covered. And even states like California, New York, insane, by the way, have also proposed bills, not yet law, but have proposed bills that would make it so that these illegal immigrants can get their attorney fees and their legal fees paid if they want to fight to stay in this country, which is totally and completely illegal. And I've exposed the fact that Biden does have executive powers through Title 8, which was passed, and which is a set of multiple codes that Biden has access to, where he has discretion over who he wants to stay in this country and over who he wants to deport. I agree. The corporate conglomerates are in ties with the government. They are in cahoots in terms of Tyson firing these employees. My opinion is that they have the right to hire whoever they want, even illegal immigrants, but it's up to the government at some point to step in, or like if they find out that that's what's happening, and say, hey, look, these guys are going to be deported. You might have hired them, but too bad. They don't have the documentation to be able to stay in this country.
Well, let me say this.
That's not what they're doing.
They're illegal. Okay, so the government shouldn't have to come in and say that you can't hire them. It should be illegal for them to hire them. We could put this whole migrant status on them. But again, when there's no real court system, when these aren't political refugees, you know, we're hiding behind semantics. And the reality is that you are hiring people that have a lower standard living. They're not only being subsidized by the government, but protected by NGOs and government entities through reverse lawfare. You know, on one end, we see the lawfare going against Trump and anybody that would challenge the great narrative, anybody that would question elections and be like, hey, mail-in ballots are bad. We shouldn't have machines. We should have hand counting. We should have voter ID. They'll wage lawfare against that. They'll use the lawfare to bring these people in. That is troubling. We've got a couple minutes left in the segment. What are some of the tools that you utilize that you would share with others? Obviously, we're in the age of social media. Obviously, a phone can be a powerful tool. But if we were going to get into your tips and tricks books, what would you suggest other people utilize to do things like you're doing?
LegiInfo, congress.gov. These are basic websites that show you the slate of bills that are being passed. And it's always good to use keywords. Like if you want to know something about a thing or two about immigration, look up immigration, or healthcare, look up healthcare. And even the U.S. Senate has their own website that displays all the executive orders that Biden has signed, all the bills that are coming down the pipe. I mean, it's interesting because even without looking at the stuff, you kind of just have to be aware of the political climate. And I got this sense that because Israel is now being attacked, that Congress wants to now pass more aid to Israel and Ukraine and get that passed immediately. Meanwhile, the American citizens are suffering here with this border crisis, people coming in and flooding into their communities. These people getting health care, free food, free water. I mean, if you just look at the political climate, it's almost like you can kind of predict what they're going to do next. And so sometimes when you recognize patterns, when you recognize behaviors that are common in these politicians in the establishment, then you start to understand what's actually going through.
My man, it is so good to see a young person know about pattern recognition, not feel helpless, know that they can make a difference. Real quick, where can people find your stuff and support you?
Yeah, so go to Outraged Teen. That's OUTRAGED, teen as it sounds, as if I'm a teenager. And if you go there, on every platform, you will find my page, Max Bonilla.
All right, Max, thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking January 6th, more of the border and beyond. You're not going to want to miss it. I am Jason Burmis. This is my show. We're taking a break. We'll be back after this with more TNT Radio Live.